Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Did You Know? I am your host, John C. Abercrombie. The program that we have today is a very interesting one, one that happens with all too great a frequency in America, a country dedicated to justice for all. We have to look at and understand what go into the or start into the program. Many of the posts that we speak about primarily on each given Sunday is posted on Thursday on a blog post that I have called AmazingBlackHistory.com. Some people are put off by title. White people wonder why more of this stuff. And the reason is that we do not, in America, face the problems that we have. The problem arises from the fact that we do not talk about race. We do not talk about it on an adult level. We do not talk about it from the standpoint of solving the problems. Our nation is becoming more and more divided as we look at the D's and the R's and the whatever initials come after it. And we're looking for points. We're looking for scores. We're not looking at what is actually taking place on a human level. Yes, a human level. And what we are left with are many myths, stereotypes, and this is not only from the standpoint of white people, black people, Asian people, Hispanic people, Native Americans. It is a universal problem that we are facing. We have people who are experts, experts in their own mind, in their own right, because they have limited information. What we attempt to do on this show is to broaden the horizon so that we're all talking about the same facts, facts that I didn't learn until later in life. I considered myself to be well-rounded. I considered myself to be educated because I had attended high school, graduated from high school, had attended college, was working as an adult, and thought that I had all of the knowledge that was necessary in order to function. It was not until many decades later that I found out that I was really, really, really wrong. And it came from the fact that I did not understand who I was. I didn't understand who other people were. I was looking at the stereotypical information that we have been faced with all of our lives. Yes, we are experts on our lives, our experiences, but we need some way to make sure that they are true. That level is level. That plumb is plumb. Now we talk about horizontal and vertical. And when we look at these things, we find out that sometimes we are not on target. This goes back to the principles that we learned in our days of religious studies, that you need to start on a sound foundation. All of us think that we're on a solid foundation. And sometimes that changes when we find out what the facts of the situation are. In the primary case that we're discussing today, it is Lamar Johnson, a man who spent 28 years unfalsely incarcerated. He spent 28 years in prison for a crime he did not commit. When we look at justice, we have to ask ourselves, is this fair? Is this fair and equitable justice? I contend that in many cases it is not. And we're going to look at the case of Lamar Johnson. We're going to look at some unusual aspects of it. Talk about amazing black history. My concept, my idea in the beginning was that this was only pushing forth the ideals of what we had done successfully. We find that many of them are left out of history. And what that does is that skews the view of people involved on all sides of an issue. All sides of an issue. And I hope that you tune in next week, because we're going to talk about an up-and-coming topic that should have been discussed a long time ago. We're going to talk about Patton's Black Panthers, the infamous 761st Tank Battalion that helped America win World War II, or the side that we were on, win World War II. But it's a battalion that received very little recognition, did not receive the recognition that they deserved. And in some cases, it came posthumously. And that means after the death of those people involved, those people that could have used that notoriety or fame. And it not only affects them, it affects their families. It affects an entire race of people. And when we don't know about it, we can't react to it. We go around with the information that we have been given. We find that much of it is false. Much of the information that I had was false. And I had to come with a reckoning of that. I had to look at where it came from. Many times it came from well-intended people who thought that they knew but did not know. Why? Because it was not taught, because it was not put forth in front of us. This is why I've dedicated this time, this work, to exposing all aspects of it. We can look at a statue. We can admire the statue. But in order to get a full comprehension of what is there, we need to walk around that. We need to look at the front. We need to look at the back. We need to look at the sides. We need to look from the top. We need to look from the bottom, so that we know exactly what we're looking at. And this is what has not taken place in this country. Whether I knew anything about the 761st, I don't recall anything about them. Certainly not to the aspect to which they deserve. They deserve recognition on many levels. Excuse me, please. They deserve it because they put their lives on the line. Excuse me, I'm talking about the 761st. Let me go back to Lamar Johnson. Lamar Johnson was convicted of a murder that he did not commit. There were people who bore false witness. There were people that acted inappropriately, very inappropriately. We sometimes lose sight of the fact of the role of certain entities in our daily civilization. Yes, police arrest people, but they need to arrest, they need to investigate, but they need to do it on the basis of fairness. When a person is identified as a possible suspect, and some of the words that we use sound like weasel words, we're trying to weasel out of something. It is easy to focus on what we believe is true and follow it to the exclusion of all other possibilities, excuse me, and arrive at the wrong decision. We have to realize that in order that we can go back and look at what should have been. Sometimes it's theoretical, but we have people that are not held responsible for their contribution to injustice. We look at many of the positions that come up for a vote, not fully understanding what these people are doing. And we don't take it seriously as to what is happening. We see in this particular case, people not acting properly in terms of the police, in terms of the investigators. And I'm making a little distinction in this particular case, something that we sometimes don't think about. When we think about the police, we often think only of the uniformed officers. We have some people that are maybe detectives who are charged with investigating crimes. They need to also look at other possibilities. Why is it important to look at other possibilities? Because it is not justice if we get a conviction that is not deserved. And sometimes that happens because we have not looked at other possibilities. Is there information that we should be releasing to the other side that could possibly exonerate someone else? Our law says yes. But sometimes we look at it as we do notches on a gun, scalps on a belt, or whatever. We won. We won because we put a notch on our gun. Did that we deserve to have that notch? Did it even have to happen in the first place? Sometimes we have to stand back or step back and analyze the information that we have. We have to look at the conduct that we have, and we have to make sure that we are being fair, that what we are doing is without reproach, that it can bear the test of time. You have not lost because you have not made an arrest of someone that does not deserve to be arrested. You haven't. We are to find the truth. Our justice system is to do just that, to find the truth. And if we have not looked at all possibilities, we could end up with a man like Lamar Johnson, who spent 28 years in prison for a crime he did not commit. I understand that there are many people saying, how is he convicted if he didn't do it? I understand the principles behind that, because I've been on both sides of this situation, not as a defendant, but I have seen and analyzed cases where this is exactly what has happened. We have picked out a person. I've known cases that have happened as early as elementary school, where we have accused people of doing things that they did not do. It is devastating. It is at a point of ruining a person's life. If you feel totally that you have the right person, then yes, you have to follow that lead. But if you have not looked at other possibilities, you're not sure of that. You may have a belief, but is that belief fair? Is that the way that you would want to be treated under similar circumstances? If you can't answer those questions yes, then we need to look at what happened. And this is such a case that we're looking at today. We see a man give up 28 years of his life. Now, one of the questions that we don't ask is, how did this man maintain sanity during 28 years knowing that he did not commit this crime? This is something we have to look at also, because when we look at hate, when we look at what takes place within us, he realized that hate was only putting him in a different prison. He had faith, he had hope that one day, no matter how long it was, that he would be exonerated. So he was able to lead an exemplary life behind bars. He also found strength there because another inmate and he bonded. And whoever got out was going to help the other get out. We need to understand the value of making a commitment to what is right. Oftentimes it comes down to who is right rather than what is right. There is no place for who is right. It's a matter of what is right. Those of us that have a religious bent need to go back. We need to look at our underpinning, and make sure that we are on a solid foundation. When we go forth with what we believe or what we think is taking place, certainly most people would be bitter, very emotional about being unfairly convicted of a crime. And what you're doing is you're trading one prison for another, one prison for another. You can't be free until your mind is free. And he lived with the possibility and the hope that he would eventually be freed. He studied law while he was in prison. They filed case after case. There was an outdated Missouri law that helped imprison him. When the point that I'm trying to make here is that we need people in responsible positions that are, number one, responsible. Responsible doesn't always mean defending what is there. It means looking at and making decisions about, is it fair? And in this case, he ran into legal technicalities. When we walk into a voting booth, we have to realize the integrity of the people that we are voting for. It's not just a matter of dollars and cents. It's a matter of ethics. It's a matter of morals. And oftentimes, these issues do not directly come up on the ballot. We find ourselves now facing a moral dilemma as we're looking to 2024. And this is not something to be taken lightly. The eyes are on the national election, but that's only one of the things that we should be looking at. We should be looking at our local elections, because all politics come down to local issues. What I mean by that, when we have our city officials, they need to support or bring out the differences with county, with state, with national officials. It is not a rubber-stamped act. We don't go in just and rubber-stamp something. We need to actually make decisions. The ones that affect us are the ones that start locally. Because we see what happened here in a national spotlight happening every day around us. We see it 24/7. When we drive and we are afraid to be pulled over by a policeman, and I'm not just talking about black people, I'm talking about many people are afraid of this. It happens with great impact in those that are viewed as less than, those marginalized and undervalued people in our society get the brunt of it. But that doesn't mean that it will always be that way, because we stand on a slippery slope, a very slippery slope. When we start not following our laws, not following the ethics, the morals, it eventually gives way to a slippery slope in which other people can slide down. And we must realize that as we stand on what we think is solid ground. Lamar Johnson had nothing to fear except the erroneous acts of people in power. I think that from the dog catcher on, that people need to become involved. I saw this firsthand in a bowling league, of all things. I was in a bowling league and on a team with a law enforcement officer from a neighboring town. And what I saw shocked me. It surprised me. It upset me. At the time, it didn't upset me enough to do anything about it, but it put something in my mind that has stuck with me all these years. What can you do in a bowling league that is not fair? Now, most people are familiar with the game of bowling, but he would slightly edge the count. Oh, I got that spare. No, you did not get that spare. You left the pin up there. That showed me that if he would cheat in that area, he would do it at the stake of someone else. He was putting himself above the law. Above the law. We can't have and we can't afford and we don't need people who put themselves above the law. Now, we're talking about Lamar Johnson, but as we delve deeper and deeper into this subject, we will see that other people play a very critical role in this situation, a very critical role. Because when we look at prosecutors, they are given a case. They make a decision. One, whether we take it to court or whether we don't take it to court. Every case that comes up before a prosecutor is not a murder case. But when we have people that look at a case and decide whether to take it or not, that same level of morals, that same level of ethics needs to be displayed in all cases. And in many cases, it is not. It is not. We see it. We don't understand it. But the only way to make that change is to become involved. Well, you can't run into a murder case necessarily and do anything about it because you, one, are not trained as a lawyer. You have no standing in many cases. But if you are aware of things that are wrong, you have a responsibility to act on it, to report it, to do whatever you can within the law. We can do this as ordinary citizens because we can vote. I am meeting with a gentleman on Monday, tomorrow, and we're talking about getting the vote out. I'm not telling people how to vote, but I'm telling them that they should vote. Because we look, and let me digress here just a moment. We look at what is happening in Florida, and sometimes that just chills my blood through and through. Because we're saying that you cannot talk about race. You cannot teach race. We have in South Carolina, my home state, a riot that took place in Hamburg. And in that particular riot, 100 black people were killed. 100, roughly. Because sometimes we don't know exact counts on these because we don't look into them like we do or like we should. But there is a monument erected there. Oh, they finally honored those people that were killed trying to vote. No, that's not what that monument is there. There were three white people killed while killing the black people. That's who the monument honors. Is that what you want to stand for you? It certainly is not what I want to stand for me. I don't stand for it. And we need to make changes in what is taking place in our everyday lives. Every day. When a person is unfairly convicted of a traffic violation, unfairly convicted. It is because somebody has made a decision that this is what happens. We have people that are marginalized. They're on the border of what goes on. And they are barely getting by. They sometimes can't afford to take a day off to go to court to defend themselves, because if they do, they may lose their job. They end up with higher insurance rates, which they can't afford to do. Decision comes down. Do I buy insurance or do I feed my children? Do I buy insurance or do I feed my children? People, that's just a minor inconvenience. But when you have people that are placed on the edges of our civilization and don't receive everything that they should be receiving, then we are taking advantage of them. This can be changed by the simple act of voting. It's a good thing that I am not God, and I have to admit that. Because when people are talking about unfairness in the system, my challenge to them would be, did you vote? If you didn't care enough to vote, then shut up. If you voted, fine. At least you put in your 2 cents worth. But if you're so sorry that you can't even go out and vote, I'm impressed with the 102-year-old lady that stood in line for hours to vote because she knew the value of a vote. And we find that in her particular case, it took longer because they did not staff precincts like they should have. Politicians make that difference. There are people that were going in within minutes and voting and coming out. But black people were stacked up like cordwood because of that limitation. Now let's get back to Lamar Johnson. Part of what happened in his case is that the law says that you must share information that you have with the defendant's attorney so that he can be properly defended. so that he can be properly defended. These people didn't turn it over. The police did not look at other possibilities of what happened. We have lineups. When they line people up, they should be somewhat similar. But they often have the lineups in such a manner that one person stands out over the other. Auto-suggestion. Other subtleties at work in this situation. It is not justice when the wrong person is convicted. I understand human error. It's not a perfect system. But it seems to play against those people that we consider marginalized, that we undervalue. If you will look at and read the Innocence Project, where people have dedicated their lives to looking at cases that should be reconsidered. Let's look here at South Carolina. South Carolina holds the record of the youngest person executed under law. Executed, and I'm making a distinction here, between an execution, state-sanctioned, government-sanctioned, and a lynching, because we've certainly lynched people unfairly. There's a museum in Alabama that features over 4,000 documented lynchings. Documented. I'm sure that there are more that have gone undocumented, undeclared, people just missing. But we are able to go and reconstruct what happens. In this particular case, we had a young man, 14 years of age. The case came down that in a rural South Carolina town, two young white girls were murdered. Tragic situation. Yes, tragic situation. So how did this involve a 14-year-old? Did he kill them? No. The state of South Carolina, 70 years after he had been executed, exonerated him because they only followed one lead. That one lead was the fact that he and his sister had spoken to the girls earlier in the day. Spoken to. So you take a 14-year-old kid who has spoken to, he admitted it, spoke to them. They were looking for what in the South we call Maypops. And they were looking for a place to find them, George Stinney Jr., and his sister had spoken to the girls. There was no doubt about that. But when we look back at trial, his attorney was possibly inebriated, fell asleep during the trial, never once objected to anything that took place. This frail 14-year-old was so small that he had to be placed on a Bible in order to be executed in the electric chair. Excuse me. The irony of that is beyond us. The irony is beyond us. The judge allowed these things to happen. Why? People were undervalued. They were marginalized. They didn't matter. People were looking for a statistic. I got this conviction. It is not a conviction, in my opinion, if it is not done fairly, if it is not done above board, if it is not done with ethics, if it is not done with morals. And this is what happened to Lamar Johnson. Spent 28 years of his most productive years inside of a prison for a crime he did not commit. He was exonerated. But let me tell you what happened at the time that he was exonerated. We're going to go back and look into the case itself. If he had been guilty, there were state systems that would have helped him make a transition from jail to civilian life. I think those things are good in principle, but I'm not sure how well they actually work, because we don't get to see what happens in the background. We don't get a chance to see what's taking place. We don't look into it deep enough. But let me tell you, you have within you the power to make, because you put elected officials in office, people that have a responsibility to do that, people that appoint people to do that. The system is flawed, but the flaw starts with those people who do not vote, who do not vote. When we look at what is taking place in Florida, we have a governor there that is saying you can't teach people about race. Why? I'm going to tell you flat out the reason why. Because if we look at our history, and I hate to admit it because I was in this category, but I hopefully have come out of this category, we don't know our history. We don't know what we have done. We don't know the massacres. Last year, go to Amazing Black History, and you will look at some of the riots and massacres that have taken place in this country that we don't know about. I didn't know about Hamburg. I didn't know about Rosewood. I didn't know about any of these things. Is that embarrassing? Yes, can be embarrassing. But the bigger embarrassment is that we are afraid to talk about it. Why are we afraid to talk about it? One, because we don't know about it. We can't fix problems that we don't know about. We look at Ocoee. There was a massacre there. Hundreds of black people killed. They were dumped in a mass cemetery, a mass grave. Many of them were burned beyond recognition, could not be identified. But we didn't care enough about them to try to make that. We didn't care enough to put them in individual graves. We dumped it in a big hole, covered it up, didn't tell anybody about it. And now the governor of Florida saying you can't talk about that unless you talk about the violence that blacks took against whites. July Perry did not kill anybody, but he was venerated. I mean, he was excoriated for even trying to vote. We can't allow that to happen. Those of us that are listening to this program have a responsibility to get other people to vote, to get other people involved. To turn your back on your neighbor in this way, in my opinion, is a gross sin. You're to treat our neighbor as we want to be treated. Your neighbor is not just the person living next door to you. That may have happened hundreds of years ago. But now we live in a world where George Floyd is my neighbor, where Philando Castile is my neighbor, where other people are my neighbors. And we think that because we separated our neighborhoods, that the person that lives across the street is not my neighbor. But what we had in the case of Lamar Johnson is people that were dedicated to proving him guilty. They did not turn over information that could have exonerated him. When we make a selection for an attorney general, we see the power that rests in that position, but we don't realize it. We see it now, but we don't realize it. Let's say we have two people walking down the street. One of them has a joint with him. Another person has a pound of marijuana. Both of them get arrested, let's say. And the prosecutor says, this guy with a pound, I don't think I can make a case. Where does it go? Nowhere. But to the guy with the joint, is prosecuted to the limit of the law, that's what we're making the decision on, and we don't get involved. We do not get involved. This is how Lamar Johnson was convicted, because the prosecutor did not turn over information that could have found him innocent. We finally go back. We look at it. The Innocence Project, Bereshek, Newfield, all these guys were involved in looking at cases that deserve to be looked at again. When I talked about George Stinney Jr., like I said, his attorney came to court drunk. He fell asleep. He never once challenged any of the proceedings. Is this fair? No. Because the state of South Carolina admitted this when they went back and looked at the case and the investigation. Now, the sad part of this is that the perpetrator of this crime got away because we used a sacrificial lamb. We don't even know the race of the person that committed the crime. It's quite possible that people knew. There is an underground grapevine that provides information. When we don't even look at it, we are taking a sacrificial lamb. I have to give praise to Lamar Johnson because he didn't allow himself to be consumed with hate. When we look at forgiveness, we are freeing ourselves, in many cases, to go about our lives to the best that we can at that time. Forgiveness is divine, and sometimes we have to do that to free ourselves. We need to take advantage of resources. We need to read our Bible. We need to be free within ourselves. One of the purposes that I use to make this program, The Amazing Black History and Others, is that we have to understand who we are. Who we are. Next week, when I talk about Patton's Panthers, the 761st, I'm going to look at leadership. I'm going to look at what leadership thought they were doing. And I'm going to show how that has kept us down. It has taken courage of people like Harry Truman. Harry Truman, yes. Harry Truman signed Executive Bill 81, that integrated the military. Why did he do that? Because of a case that happened in South Carolina. Isaac Woodard was a soldier in uniform, sergeant's stripes, on his arm. They had to sit in the back of the bus because of the color of his skin. And when he wanted to use the bathroom, when they stopped in Batesville, South Carolina, the bathroom for black was on the other side of the bus station. And the driver cursed him. He cursed him back. The driver called the sheriff, Leonard Skull, came in and gouged both of Isaac Woodard's eyes out. And Truman was outraged, as we all should be. But when we do not invest the time to understand our prosecutors, when we do not understand the police and the involvement of people in and out of uniform in seeking justice. Justice is fairness. Justice is appropriate. When we do that, we have turned our back on a person who is suffering, would have never saw anything the rest of his life because his eyes were gone. He almost died from infection because of the way he was treated while he was in jail. One of the words that touch me most, and we sometimes look at people that are incarcerated as the worst of the worst, and sometimes they are. But the words that they visited me while I was in prison are very touching to me, very touching, because when a person is at their depths, when they are down on themselves as society has been down on them, whether they are guilty or not, there is hope. Alwyn Cash was posthumously awarded the Medal of Honor, the highest award that America can give. Posthumously, that means after his death. He was in war. He was in a tank. The tank was on fire. And he went back into that tank and rescued his men. Now, he was safe. His uniform burned and was melted to his body. But he went back again and again. And as he is in intensive care in burn center, his brother asked him, why? Why did you do that? He said, I have made my peace with God, but I'm not sure my men had. I have made peace with my God. In other words, I am doing, and I have made peace with him. But I'm not sure these people did. I do everything I can to give them that chance in their lives. He died of his burns. But yet and still, we didn't want to recognize him at that time because of the color of his skin. Oftentimes, it comes down to that. Nothing more, nothing less. But a fair system realizes deserve to be treated fairly. All people deserve to be treated fairly. Now, as we continue this discussion, I sometimes get excited and realize that I did not give everybody the opportunity to come onto the program. There are some people that are on. We'll open the mics in a brief time. But I want to give other people the opportunity to participate as well. And the number to call is 646-668-8217. What happens is many of you are listening to a link that I posted on Facebook that I put in the article itself. And we do this every week because these are important considerations. There are people, both black and white, and all other races that have probably never heard the story of Lamar Johnson. It's an important story because it's repeated time and time and time again. America is too great to allow this to happen. Cannot believe that we will forever remain on this pedestal if we do not take steps to change it. Do not take steps to change it. When we look at our city attorney or whoever, and I can relate this back into the 1960s, I'm driving on North Church Street in Spartanburg. A guy comes out of Memorial Drive and hits me in the side, runs the light, hits me in the side. we go to court, and that officer basically acted as the prosecuting attorney in this case, saying, well, he couldn't see. When he gets there 15 minutes later, there are four of us in the car. The windshields are foggy. Well, the windshield's foggy. He couldn't see where we... No, guy, shut up. My mother, realizing that I was going to court, because I was going back to my college, Livingstone College in Salisbury, North Carolina, at the time, had three fellow students with me. And what happened is she sent an attorney with me to court. I was not charged for having somebody hit me in the side. But when I told her the policeman's name, and she was not joking one bit, if I'd known that's who it was, I would have sent two attorneys down there. Because we have people that are willing to put their life, their reputation on the line for a conviction. That's not what police officers are there for. They are there to ferret out the truth. Nothing more, nothing less, anybody. They're there to follow the information. We see that another person confessed to the crime. Did that free Lamar Johnson? No. Does that indicate something's wrong with the system? This is a mixed audience, and I won't use the words that I would normally do in a small group, but no, it's not. I hope that those of you that are listening encourage our younger listeners as well. Why? Because we see a world that often is unfair. We don't instill in our youth, we don't instill in our adults that you, yes, you can do something to change it. You can do something to improve it. We can make it better. The goal is not to stand fixed where we are. The goal is to make it a little bit better every day. Some days a whole lot better each day. But we only do that if we become involved. We only do that if we have the knowledge. We only do that if we take a stand on something. I know it is frustrating. I know it is taxing. I watch the news. I wake up to the worst stuff that's ever happened that previous 24 hours. Who's killed who and everything else. I'm not going to delve into a Second Amendment violation. But we need to have a basic understanding of the Constitution, of our rights. We see police officers oftentimes act with qualified immunity. I have several posts on qualified immunity. And let me give you an example of what qualified immunity is. We have a case where a man gives up to police, and he's sitting down, hands raised. The dog is sicked on the person, the potential perpetrator of the crime, and chewed up, chewed up. Well, we think that any idiot ought to know better than to allow that to happen, and it should. Except a couple of weeks ago, we were treated to seeing a dog unfairly released on a truck driver who had a missing left mud flap on his trailer. Qualified immunity. Didn't know that that was wrong. So we have a man that's sitting on the ground, hands up, chewed by a dog. Police have to be on notice that what they're doing is wrong. We have another similar case come up. A man gives up. He's laying on the ground. Police allow the dog to chew him up. Judge rules. This is not similar to the one where the guy was sitting there. Now, what kind of idiot does it take to not see the similarity between those cases? But we see this come up every day. We see that officers get off on this type of thing. Is it time for that to change? Yes. Do I have the solution? Maybe. But we need to discuss it. I don't want this dictatorial thing. I want to see something that's reasonable. I want to see something that's fair. I understand the terror that can go through you as you work in law enforcement because I did it for 28 years. I know the fear that sometimes comes up. Before I got there, I thought that every traffic stop, you just walk up, write a ticket, and leave. That is not the purpose of law enforcement, although we see it happen time and time again. I have let people go that I knew did a traffic violation because I was not 100% sure. Not 100% sure. I had to be at that level in my mind in order to do it. What I wanted to do was get people to comply, to understand their mistakes. And oftentimes that's what happened. But we see sometimes people want to keep this. That is not law enforcement. That's persecution. That's dictatorial conduct. It's unbecoming. It has no place in our society. None. And we make that difference by exercising our right to vote and encouraging other people to do the same. I'm not going to walk up to you and ask you who you're going to vote for, but I may tell you that you need to vote. And the people that don't, I want you to understand that Ron DeSantis ran, I believe it was against Gillum, black man in Florida. Out of the millions of people in Florida, he only won by 30,000 votes. What does that tell you? Tells you to get up off of your rusty, dusty, and go down there and vote, because every vote matters. It matters in the case of Lamar Johnson. It matters in the case of all of the citizens of Florida. Because unless we know what happened in Rosewood, unless we know what happened with the first people elected to the legislature in Florida, we can't make a balanced decision. I have articles on amazing black history about Florida, about early legislatures. When the Civil War ended, Reconstruction took place, which was to give all people the right to vote, all people the right to say something. But ever since, there has been a war against allowing you the opportunity of a citizen of this country to exercise your right. I'm going to give you that number again because I want to hear from you. I want you to make comments. You may not agree with me. Let's hear it. This is what a discussion is. It's talking about things that we agree on and also talking about things we don't agree on. The one thing that I would ask is that we be civil, we be adult, that we talk about it. We don't have to come away with 100% agreement, but at least we have opened a dialogue. I want you to understand, because I want younger listeners to listen to the program, to understand that they can play a vital, vital role in what takes place. A few weeks ago, I did a post on Solomon Carter, not a criminal, but he was the first psychiatrist, black psychiatrist in America, which meant he was a licensed doctor. He was a psychiatrist. He could prescribe medicine. He did autopsies. He was selected personally by Dr. Alzheimer's to continue his research. 100 years ago, this man went to the same college that I went to, Livingstone College, an HBCU in Salisbury, North Carolina, and was one of the leading studies of Alzheimer's and aging. And we see the devastating effects of what it's doing now. But because we did not support or get support from white institutions, we founded black institutions. His work was not funded because of the color of his skin. Not fair, not only to black people, but to white people as well. When we look at things like our drug problem, used to not be a drug problem until white people started dying, being sentenced. It was a moral issue. All you have to do is say no. They didn't know the pain that people were enduring day in and day out, every day, every hour of their lives. And so it is not just doing something for us. In fact, most of our children attended public schools. When you look at the fact that Robert Smalls, an enslaved man who stole a Confederate ship, the Planter, and later became a legislature, pushed for public schools for all people because poor whites were treated the same way. But they had something that they could hold their hand on. At least they were white. No, the problem had nothing to do with that. It was how man divided man, divide and conquer, if you will. I'm going to give that number again. I'm going to open the mics very shortly because I want some discussion. That number is 646-668-8217. 646-668-8217. As we look at that situation, we need to realize that what is holding us back as a country is our lack of understanding, our lack of fulfillment in understanding or putting forth even the knowledge. What does it take away from anybody if somebody else gets credit for what they did? It may encourage the children of that person to go further. That's what we want. Use the stories that we have. We need to instill within children of all races, all genders, all ages, success is yours. If understanding is yours, if you can define a purpose, a reason, this is the makings of a great country. This is the makings of a great country. Those of you listening, you can hear me, but you can also listen if you call in. The only difference is I have control of the microphones. I can recognize you. I can allow you to speak. If you're on your device, even if it is a smartphone and you've connected through the internet, I can't see you. I can't do that. I want the discussion. We need this discussion. It's essential that we have this discussion. And so as we talk about this, the primary subject that we were talking about was Lamar Johnson, a man who maintained his sanity despite 28 years of imprisonment. When you come out 28 years of imprisonment, the world has changed. 28 years ago, everybody didn't even have a phone in their house. Now everybody has one or two in their pocket. The world has changed. As I indicated before, or at least I'm not sure that I closed this particular loop, because he was exonerated and not convicted, he didn't have access to state resources to reintegrate him into society. Is that right? No. No way about it. How do we make that change? By the people that we elect for office. It's more than just running down making an X on a piece of paper. It's much more than that. It affects your life. When we talked about the case of the marijuana conviction, many people are denied jobs because of that. And it's not fair. And when we have people that make decisions on who is right rather than what is right, we only exacerbate the condition. We can't stand by and do that. Folks, I am going to open this, open the microphones at this time. They're all open. I see my friend from North Carolina. I don't know whether Deacon has any comments that he would like to make at this point, but if so, Deacon, do you have anything there?
Shalom, Professor. Shalom. I'm just listening and I'm taking notes. I'm going to get on here in a moment and see who I can get to join me listening to you because they need to know just as well as myself because this is information. Some has been held from us, but there's a lot of information that is right there for us, and we should pick up on it before it gets destroyed. But I thank you for allowing me to speak. But as I said, I'm just listening, taking in information, and I'll be passing it along.
I appreciate it very much. This is what we need to do.
Yes,
because
sir, no problem.
This is information that all of us should know about. But history hides it, and they hide it for a purpose. Giving credit to people brings up many questions, questions that should have been brought up earlier. I see my friend Marshall is on the line. Marshall,
yes,
are you there?
Yes, sir, Mr. Abercrombie. How are you doing today?
I am well and hope that you are the same.
Yes, sir, doing just fine. Sitting here listening to you. I miss you for a couple of weeks there. My wife had me. She has me in high gear sometime with all these grandchildren. We'd be running here and there and everywhere. And I know you know all about that. But we're listening about Mr. Lamar Johnson. Never heard that story before. But I find one of the reasons is that we don't know. Some of us think we have arrived. You know, we think that we already there. And then there is some of us who are still making history and just haven't had time to sit back and sit down and get involved and find out about our history. And then we have some people just don't care. They just don't care. I mean, you know, you don't know. And then when they find out that you're trying to find out all you can about it, then they distance themselves from you like you trying to find out something they ain't trying to find out. But you need to be doing the same thing. We need to understand this.
See, yeah, Carter Woodson, when he started Negro History Week, did not intend for it to go much, you know, as long as it has. And what it was designed to do is, during that week, we come together and share what we have learned. Now, I think it's a 24/7, 365, 24/7 thing because we have so much to learn, and that was his dream that we would do that. And I appreciate the comments. To both of the listeners that have expressed ideas, I appreciate you. I wish other people would join our conversation because this is important stuff, folks.
Yes,
we are
yes.
a great country,
yes.
but we
yes,
need to do
yes,
things
yes.
to stay on top. We're not the
yes.
best educational system in the world. and we can learn. And we have people wanting to dumb us down, like the governor of Florida and other people are taking steps, because it is embarrassing to admit what has taken place in this country, what we have done to our fellow man. And it is time that we recognize what happened and change it.
Certainly. And one of the other things is, some time ago, there was a young girl at one of our local churches. She was a very, very nice artist. She knew how to draw. So she drawed a symbol for me for our church that we could put on our bulletin, on our flyer at our church. And I took it to the place to get it done and everything. And when it was done, it was a slight error on there. And I went back a couple of days later and asked, could we get this re-erected here? This is something not done. They said, well, the girl that do this, she's not here today. I said, well, where is the manager? They said, well, the manager, he's here. So the manager was a white guy. I said, look here, I don't want to have to come back. I need this done today, or maybe I could come back tomorrow. And he said, well, the young girl that do that, she's not here today. She'll be off today, was off today, and we'll be off tomorrow. Trying to find the girl was from Vietnam. The manager couldn't do it. Nobody in the store could do it. Nobody but this girl from Vietnam. Now, they're saying very much about us. She was the only one that could correct this problem, what it was with the paper for the program.
And they probably wasn't paying her what she was worth.
Well, you know they wasn't. You know they wasn't. I mean, if it had been black, she'd have been black, it'd probably been worse. And some of our people don't want you to say like when I said then, if it had been black, yes, somebody, we need to talk of these issues. These are issues by being black, yes. If you think not, just wait till you have to go out there and face the law enforcement people and go before the judge and go before the jury and all of them white. Then you will understand what I'm saying about being black. I don't know what country you from, but I've been here 86 years. I've seen a lot of things in my life. I've seen a lot of things, experienced a lot of things, and race is a big problem still here in America.
Yes, sir, it is. Most people don't want to recognize it, don't want to acknowledge it, don't want to do anything about it.
No, not concerned. That don't. You go all the day, you're going back about that race. Yes, certainly am.
Yeah, and most of them don't know jack about it. They just know what they've seen on TV.
That's right. And won't we even watch black movies? All you watch, you don't want to watch what we've done, some of the things and accomplishments we made, don't want to know about them. I want to know everything that our ancestors know done. Now, Leon, myself, I told you they was doing our history of our life, and they keep on having to have to go back. The more they dig, the deeper they get, and the more they find out about our ancestry. Our grandfather was killed, a lady killed him by feeding him some glass. Said if nobody else could have him, if she couldn't have him, nobody else will. We didn't know that till we started digging and getting in the book and finding out about these things, who our grandfather was and what happened with him and how he accomplished the things that he did. We're going through a lot of that right now with our life history. We'll let you know because it's coming up pretty soon.
Now, I want to mention something, and I think you know this, but I talked about one of your distant relatives because you're related to Jay Massey. Jay Massey is related to Robert Smalls. And
yeah.
Robert Smalls was the one that stole that ship, the one that got public education in South Carolina. And when we look at the African American Museum, one of the great grandsons of Robert Smalls is a leader in putting together the International African American Museum down there in Charleston.
We are all over history.
Now, who would have thought that somebody in Welford would have that kind of connection. We got it. Now, the other thing that spoke earlier is related to Eugene Bullard. And Bullard was from Georgia and escaped after they tried to kill his father, after the Ku Klux tried to kill his father, made it on a ship, went to Germany, learned German on the way over, went down and fought for the French and was a fighter pilot in World War I. We didn't have in America fighter pilots until World War II. So we think history is something that took place a long time ago. We're scared to go back and look at our history because we think that all we're going to find is a jailbird somewhere. And that ain't the case. We find that we are fighters. We find that we have done things. And when we look at Bullard, he had information that he had obtained from the Germans because they didn't think that a black person could speak German. He had a club in France. They were in France. And the government didn't listen to him because he was black. And he came over here because of the threat on his life, had to work, and you might be old enough to remember this, but he was the elevator operator at the Today Show with Dave Garraway and J. Fred Muggs, who was a monkey. And when Charles de Gaulle came over, the president of France came over, he asked for him personally and invited him to the opening of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. And how is that something that we don't know about? How? Now, I don't know if Mr. Bullard's relative wants to say anything about this or not, but it happened. So how is it that we can have this much history on this show and know about it? I guess there are no comments from that side of it.
The more that we dig and the more that the people dig in finding out our history, the deeper it gets, the more I want to know. I want to know. Look, it looks like we are America. All of the work that we have done to make America great, it comes from us. In that cotton field in 1941, when our house caught on fire, and we could look from the cotton field and see the house burning, where there were old houses, and you could see the chickens up under the house through the floor, and how the crops that we were gathering and all of the crop, we had to give it to the white man. And all we were doing was living on this place. And every year he'd tell my dad, well, you just didn't make it.
That's why they didn't want us to read and write and do numbers.
Exactly right.
So, it's interesting. And one thing I want to make sure that people know is that white people carry around a burden that they may be related to a slave owner. And there were so many white people that did so many good things that we don't know about. They don't want us to know about that either. And I don't care if you did. You couldn't do anything about it because you weren't alive then. But you can do something to change it now. You can and you should. Join us. Understand what we're talking about. And look at factual stuff, not made-up stuff that somebody's done for their own financial benefit. Now, we have a little less than 10 minutes to go unless there are other comments or questions. I will just let you know that next week we're going to talk about one of the greatest fighting forces in World War II, one of the ones that won the Battle of the Bulge, a black unit, all black unit that we know very little about, the 761st, and what they did. They received awards, but they were after the death of those people. We couldn't even honor them for what they did. George Patton had racist attitudes, racist ideas, and got his behind in a crack and had to call on these people. and they outperformed anybody to their expectations. They were stellar in war. And why they aren't heroes right now, I don't know. I have absolutely no idea. And we have in Spartanburg, and I'm going to see what I can do about this, a man who is having a army base named after him that was stationed in Spartanburg. You'd think that in Spartanburg I'd know all about him, but I didn't. And there's a memorial to him, and I bet both of you have passed that memorial and never knew it, never knew it. And we're going to talk about that next week. If we don't have any other comments, I want to remind you that the program you're listening to is Did You Know? It is appropriate for people of all ages. Let's get our children involved and understand the great potential that they have to save this country, to save this world, to save all of us. I'm your host, John C. Abercrombie. We come to you every Sunday at this time. Save the links, share the links to get to the program, and we will all be better for it. Black, white, Native Americans, Asians, Hispanics, and everything else. Even Caucasians are going to be way better off knowing information rather than being kept in the dark. It's been my pleasure to be with you on this time. Join us again next week. And with that, I bid you a farewell. Have a blessed week. We'll see you again next week. Be blessed, my friends. Be blessed.
God bless you.